is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran, and I love When Calls the Heart.
This is ridiculous. If he does this without knocking something over, I'll be impressed.
Hey, it's Panda. I got thirsty. I like When Calls the Heart.
I'm Dan. This show's really going downhill. I despise When Calls the Heart. And this
is the Deck the Hallmark podcast. Yes. Hello, everybody.
We are just doing it today.
Another Thursday, another episode of When Calls the Heart.
When calls the heart.
Please let me know.
When calls the heart.
What does this show, what's the title even mean?
When Calls the Heart?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's from a book by Jeanette Oakey.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
If you say so. But we're in season three, y'all.
Kind of. It's like an in-betweener.
Oh, it's a tweener.
It's a tweener.
Have you heard about that Creed cover band? Tween.
Tween girls?
Yeah. They sing
Creed. And they sing Creed songs?
And it's so good. Yeah. It's so good.
I wish I remember the name of that band, but I don't.
Creed.
Credence. It was something Credence.
Credence Summer.
Yeah, I don't know.
Teens. I don't know.
Credence Summer Teens.
Spring. It was because Credence Spring.
I will never give Credence to spring. Credence to Spring.
Yep, Creed. Yeah,
how did it turn into a tween?
I don't know.
Teen Girl Creed cover band.
I don't know. It just did. What do you mean turn into? It always has been.
I'm sorry. You're exactly right.
When Calls the Heart's good stuff.
Listen, when I'm wrong, I'm wrong with arms wide open.
When calls the heart.
What was that supposed
don't
to be?
Really
can you
like
tell me what? Oh, really? It was supposed to be all by myself.
When calls the heart.
If you want not that, like if you want to enjoy something other than that, be sure to check out Philo.
Yeah.
Our good friends at Philo have plenty of stuff that's not that. So much stuff that's not that, in fact. And you should go check them out. Philo, thanks for the love. what were you up to?
Were you thinking the big I am?
Thumbs up for Philo.
Big I am.
Big I
thanks,
am.
Thanks, Philo.
There it is.
Big I am.
Shout out the big I am. It's the longest way. It's the longest way to thank God, I think.
Who do you think you are? I am.
So
we're talking When Calls the Heart. New Year's wish.
New us.
New Year's wish. The
you guys have a good New Year's.
Oh my gosh.
So good, you. Man.
Hey guys, what's your New Year's resolution?
I remember Dan's.
What was it?
You don't do New Year's resolutions.
That's right. I don't. You're accurate.
I don't remember what mine is. Do you guys remember last year, 2020, when it was like
2020.
It was February.
2020 is going to be our year.
And I was still asking people.
That's why I did the bit just now. It's just brought it back.
Yeah.
How was your 2020?
It went.
It happened.
Boy, did you think when we were in January in that tiny office space, doing the New Year bit, that 2020 was going to happen? Because, boy, we were in for it.
I had an inkling.
You had an inkling?
Yeah.
And you just didn't say anything?
Do you think Delta X made it?
I hope not. We were in this office complex, and there was a company down the hall called Deltex, and we just knew that because their placard said Deltex. And for literally no reason, we all decided it was a terrible company. We don't know anyone that works there. We just had to walk by it every day, and so we determined Deltex was bad news.
Yep. Yeah. I once walked by their placard, and I moved it halfway out. I didn't throw it on the ground. I just kind of just pushed it a little bit off center.
Like they became our mortal enemy.
Yeah, they did.
They
were really sweet.
They could literally help impoverished people do great things or just be completely nonprofit. And we were like, Deltex is the worst.
But they're not above board. They're not above board. They're not above board.
Everything's out in front.
One calls the heart. A New Year's wish is what we're talking about today.
I wish. For you.
This was, if you remember,
watching all of this show.
The end of season two comes, and we see Jack. And Jack's watching Charles propose.
Jack and Charles.
Jack is watching Charles propose to Elizabeth. And come to find out, apparently, that was close to the holiday season, is what we are going to find out here. Is apparently the season we were watching took place around the holidays.
And that's my biggest wait what? And you're just sweeping it out right now. Yeah, apparently there were no Christmas decorations anywhere, but that proposal happened sometime in December. Oh boy, it's off to a good start. Feeling good about
Winkles the Heart.
Hope Valley.
New Year's Wish. It originally aired on December 26th.
Woo!
Man, in 2015, Hallmark was like, Christmas is over. Bring on the New Year's. And I appreciate that. And it went a little something like this. We pick up right where we left off. Elizabeth goes to find Jack. Jack is chopping wood in the woods, thank God. And it's like, I just saw Charles proposing to you. Maybe we're just not meant to be. And Elizabeth is like, no, Charles and I are donezo. And then she gives Jack a big old kiss to remind him what he's missing. Rosemary receives an exciting letter from a newspaper, and they want to do a story on how New Year's is celebrated out in the frontier.
What?
Rosemary submitted an essay about Hope Valley, and it won. Jack tells Elizabeth that he's been doing a lot of thinking while he's chopping wood out there in the woods, and says, you know what, let's move past Charles, because we don't have him anymore in the show.
Marcus didn't re-up.
And so I feel good about moving on. At school, a young boy is seen running outside. Elizabeth goes to see, who is this young rapscallion? And this boy's trying to steal wood from the school. So maybe that wood that he chopped in the woods. And he's trying to be the new Pockets. He's trying to be the new Pockets.
Pockets and to the reckoning.
Elizabeth invites him in, but the boy just drops all the wood and dashes off, which is something that Pockets would have never done.
No.
Pockets never
stands
leave.
Up.
That's exactly
like a
right.
Man.
That's right.
Pockets wannabe is in the cafe at nighttime, attempting to take food. Pocket food, if you will. Abigail and Elizabeth talk to the boy. His name's Cody. They give him a meal. They say, you can have some chicken. And he says,
Hillary Duff in that movie. Agent Cody Banks.
Man, what a time.
So yesterday.
Tracy's excited about Cody Banks being in this.
Jack comes over. Mike must be muted. Jack comes over and tries to find out more about Cody, but he's like, "I don't know who you are, sir." But eventually, he gives up the information and says, "I have a sister named Becky. She's sick. She's lying in the woods. I'm just trying to get some chicken for her. Not all for me. Trust me." Jack, Elizabeth, Abigail, Cody, the gang—they go to find Becky and they take her back to the cafe. Abigail takes Becky. She's going to stay at Abigail's, the cafe, for a while. And Cody offers to do chores in exchange for room and board and some more chicken. Jack then takes breakfast from Abigail's to Bill, who is still in jail. If you recall, Bill was up to shady doings, gets arrested. But was he up to shady doings? Who knows? Bill says that Constable Houston is the one who's guilty. Jack is not so sure. The next day, Jack and Constable Houston enter the jail. They're talking, they're chit-chatting, they're doing constable stuff. And they realize Bill's nowhere to be found. He escaped from prison, and he took weapons. Jack then tells Constable Houston, Bill must be armed. We should go try to find him and not die. Bill is seen riding off on a horse, goes into the woods, is digging up a box. Jack and Constable Houston move on in. They got the guns. They got him cornered. Constable Houston then turns the tables, reveals that he's the bad guy. Wow. He makes Jack drop the gun, points it directly towards Bill. He then shoots. The gun's empty. They saw him coming from a mile away. We get a gun fist fight situation, and eventually Bill ends up and saying, Constable Houston, you're done here, sir. Rosemary and Lee and the crew, they're going to plant a tree. Apparently, the contest that Rosemary entered requires her to be married. So Lee agrees to act like her husband. They do an interview. It doesn't go well. There's this dude named Jesse who's in town who seems to be up to no good. He finds Pastor Frank, and he calls out Pastor Frank, which I think we're all on board with. Keeps calling Pastor Frank Matt. Who's Matt? Frank tells Jesse to leave, but he replies, I'm going to stick around. The doctor talks to Abigail and Elizabeth and tells Abigail that, listen, eventually, after these kids are better, like, let's think in the grand scheme of things. We all, like, these boys, these kids aren't yours. Like, what are you going to do? Cody overhears this, and he runs away. He's like, I'll get a head start. Jack spreads the word. The kid's missing. Bill and Jack go and find him. That's that. Nora and Henry Gowan, you know him? They make plans for dinner. Gowan and Bill chat. Gowan says that he knows people in high places and says, if I were you, I'd sleep with a gun under my pillow. In fact, I wouldn't be sleeping at all. So Gowan still has it. Clara fetches a doctor, and Becky's fever's getting real bad. The doctor says, this could be bad. Elizabeth and Jack are out on a boat in a lake. They talk about life. They talk about death. They talk about how they're feeling. And Jack says, we're going to make some memories together. They row off. All right. Rosemary ends up confessing to the reporter that she and Lee are not married, but the people of Hope Valley are her family. And he's like, oh, I knew this all along. Right. Elizabeth and Abigail talk a little bit about the situation, and Cody tells tells her that Becky's sleeping, and he goes up there and he says, hey, me and Pastor Frank prayed for you. Bad boy Jesse, and he's back at it with Frank, and he is like, man, you're and I'm gonna tell everybody about you. And Pastor Frank grabs Jesse by the collar and tells him, quote, you know what I'm capable of. And I'm like, what, prayer? Jesse then goes back to the saloon and receives mail. Inside is a wanted poster for Pastor Frank.
Dead or alive.
At the school, the kids perform the I Am the New Year poem. Mm. And then everyone sings Amazing Grace. We, collectively, the three of us, stood up and joined them. For reasons I'm not fully aware of, aside from the fact that we thought it was over and lunch was coming soon. The doctor and Abigail bring Becky over, so I guess she's doing good. The fireworks go off. Jack and Elizabeth kiss. Abigail looks on like she's just got away with something. And that, my friends, was when calls the heart. New Year morning.
We did it, everybody.
We did it.
You did it?
Boy.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to break this episode special thing down with four segments here on Deck the Hallmark. Man, I'm bummed, boys.
What are you bummed about? That last synopsis kind of sounded that way.
I'm bummed, boys.
What are you bummed about?
I don't know what to watch anymore.
Can I offer...
When Calls the Heart, the latest season's over.
Can I offer a bit of just a suggestion?
What?
Maybe? Philo. It's right there on your shirt.
What is it?
Philo is a streaming service offering over 60 channels of TV.
Did you say six?
60.
Whoa!
That's right. And it costs like under a third of what you'd pay for like
one of the
YouTube
bigger boys.
TV or a Hulu. You get the DVR Unlimited.
Oh.
You get you get all your realities. You get your Lifetime, your Hallmark, your BET, your VH1, your AMC. All the good stuff in one place. For very little money. But guess what? It gets even better.
What?
With the link I'm about to give you, you're going to get 25% off of that for 2 months. So write this
25%?
Down. 2 months. You're going to get that off.
Sheesh.
Write this link down if you're really bummed. Okay. You ready?
All right.
Philo.tv/DTH.
DTH. Got it.
Hey, you got kids, Brian?
I could do. I have two.
There's Nickelodeon and other kids stuff. Philo's for everybody. It's for everybody.
You got to get on that, buddy.
I wrote down philo.tv/DTH.
That's right.
25% off.
2 months.
I'm going to go do that now, everybody. We're back.
Yay.
We're talking about When Calls the Heart, New Year's Wish.
Dead or alive.
Man, there was that big old cliffhanger at the end of season two. What's going to happen? Is she going to say yes to Marcus Rosner? And we get all of our answers here in New Year's Wish, thank God. And I'm going to start with my friend Panda. Panda, what do you think about this special, this hour and, well, the two hour special we watched in an hour 25, no commercials?
Yeah, sure. So, first of all, season three, which is good. Glad to get the stink of season two off of us. However,
it's not gone yet.
It's a little better. It's an improvement. We had a really great scene with some trickery on Jack's part. Guys getting punched with a gun. That was cool. I'm glad we spent most of the time in Hope Valley. Wanted that. Still a lot of really boring stuff. That said, at least it was more action filled. We had a kid whose life was in jeopardy with the fever. You have some happenings going on around the town.
We stayed in Hope Valley.
So overall an improvement over what we have recently seen. I'm not saying it's good, but I am saying it was at least a little bit of a relief. Still relatively dull. I think that this could just be what we get with this show.
Oh, no.
No, I agree. This is definitely a forward motion. And it definitely went quicker than the last Long Boy we watched last week. There's some fun stuff. I'm intrigued by a couple of things. The Pastor Frank storyline, I think, is interesting. And so I'm excited. I'm excited about the future. I'm excited about season three. I'm excited about where we go. Elizabeth and Jack are back at it, which I think we're all just emoji all day long. I'm excited about season three. I think this set up a few things that are at least intriguing for the forward motion of the show heading into season three.
Your synopsis was pretty low key, and I. There's a reason why. It's because the show is really boring. Is it better than season two? Sure. I just don't think this show has any right to ever be an hour and 25 minutes of straight TV. I think they try to stretch things way too thin when there's hardly anything to stretch. And so was there, 5 minutes or so that were just actually entertaining and I could watch? Yes. But it's hard to think about watching any more 85-minute episodes of When Calls the Heart. And the fact that they were in Hope Valley the whole time and the fact that we just got Jack and Elizabeth back together really are the only two reasons to give this a higher mark than season two. Really boring, guys. It's really boring. It's not fun to watch. It's hard to watch. I'm hoping that a 42-minute boy will do us right next week, though.
Here's I think, one of the reasons why I'm kind of tepid on the show moving forward. We've seen the Christmas movies from the past, right?
Yeah.
And people told us, they were like, you're going to really like the Christmas shows once you get to know the characters more. And in retrospect, we now know the characters.
Abigail Stanton having a potluck still is boring.
It's still boring. Like, I don't know what to tell you guys. Like, it's still a boring plot.
Yeah.
And so, and this is us knowing the characters. I don't know what you want from us. Like, it's just...
What's the consensus best season of When Calls the Heart? Because we talked about this. The IMDb user ratings are not helpful because in season two, the IMDb user ratings are like 9. In season 8, they're like 6.7. Like based upon IMDb users that watch the show, they hate the new seasons of When Calls the Heart. Whereas the people that comment say, just try to power through the early seasons. The later seasons are better. I don't know. What's the consensus best season of When Calls the Heart? What is it?
Let us know.
Is it when Mountie Jack is still around? Where? I just need to know what it is.
If it's a season, give me something to look forward to. Season 3 or 4.
That would be wonderful. But
great.
I'm not banking on that.
I think you should. I think you should take it to the bank.
Traveler's
Rest Credit Union.
Ooh.
They have a special.
They have a special for me taking things to that bank?
Sign up special.
What's the sign up special?
Buy one, get one.
Buy one what?
Buy one special, get one special.
What's the special?
The special's 2 for 1.
No. Did Rick Dilby write this for you?
He did. He wrote this. It's a very long setup to a very bad George Foreman grill joke.
At some point in the future or the past, we rig and you get in it about trademarks and patents on Take the Day Off. Has that happened yet or not? It's hard for me to remember.
We record every day, so I don't know. It's the last week.
Yeah. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe the viewer listeners can help us out because I haven't, you know, I don't listen to that show.
Did you hear about that? Take the day off?
Yeah, coming to an end? Take the day off. Last week of it this week. I wonder how they're going to finish. You think they're going to finish big?
I think it's going to be a good bit. Yeah. That's my guess.
You think so? I'm a little worried.
No, my guess is that it's going to be a bit that I cherish
really
the rest of my life.
Mm. It should be something. We'll see. Friday only comes around once this week.
Take the day off.
Friday comes around every week.
All the feels. Part of the show, we talk about one in this episode of When Calls the Heart, titled New Year's Wish.
Are you going to fall asleep over there?
No. Gave us some feels.
Big fight scene.
Yeah.
A little trickery on Jack's part.
Oh, I love trickery.
There was a gun, and then the gun had no bullets. And then somebody got a gun with bullets and went to prison.
There was no bullets, then somebody got a gun with bullets.
But no one shot anything.
No, so no gosh, that's no. Key.
But still, it was the prospect of somebody getting shot. And there, I'm there for it.
You're there for it. Wow.
There was some punching.
Yeah,
a little bit. It was violent.
I mean, guys, I've already said how I feel. Pastor Frank, that storyline with Jesse, what is his deal? I'm intrigued by it. And it gave me feels to see a storyline pull me in. I didn't feel like I had a single storyline aside from the courtroom last season that didn't turn into a storyline.
Doesn't Frank in season two say, like, I'm not happy about my past and, like, I'm trying to make a new start? Doesn't he say that?
He does say that, but we don't know what it is. And what has he done to make it to where
he's wanted for 500 bones.
He's wanted, dead or alive.
Dead or alive.
Like, that's serious.
Maybe it's over a woman. Maybe he really wants Jesse's girl.
That makes sense. I mean, he's been.
Go ahead.
He's been working for a while. He's been working for a while for him. You want to go ahead?
Yeah, sure. The scene that Panda talked about would be mine as well because it actually had a little bit of like action and intrigue where they do the double cross on the constable and they don't load the gun. It's a whole thing. Now, why would the constable of 20 plus years not check his gun to see if it was loaded after it was handed to him? I don't know the answer to that question. And it is a nagging one that we may get to in the Wait What's. But nevertheless, to kind of put a bow on one of the worst plot lines of all time. Like every time in season two, they went to Bill Avery. It was like, who cares? Because we know he's going to be around. We know he's a good guy. And so there was no sense of urgency with that storyline, but this was a nice way to put a bow on that storyline and never have to deal with it again. So I like that scene, I guess. Yeah. That's all I got. Well, I'm not as impressed by the Frank thing as you are. I think it's just, I think
but
early
did you
on,
see the way that,
I think early on they made him a good guy, and now they're trying to make him a bad guy again, and it's bad writing and storytelling. That's what I think. I think they've clearly made him a good guy, and now they're trying to actually, because we know that Jesse's going to stick around. He's not going anywhere.
But did you see how she was looking at him with those eyes?
What about you loving him?
Oh, I just know it. We're going to take a quick break.
He was thinking about in his arms.
Yeah.
Late at night. You know what I wish? Wish we could go to break.
We will. Right here on Deck the Hallmark.
Deck the Hallmark. Oh, yeah.
We're back. When Calls the Heart, New Year Wish. Is it New Year's Wish?
It's got to be New Year's Wish. It can't be New Year Wish. We're going to look it up. This is good. This is good radio here.
Mm. How's it been going, Dan?
It's been going great. How about you, man?
Yeah, man. So
is
solid.
This ring,
so solid.
Is it like a titanium or silicone? No, or silicone? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I just went with the tattoo.
Yeah, no, that's good.
It's the
good
way that I do it now. I don't have to worry about it.
You're on my heart. Just like a tattoo.
Ooh.
A New Year's wish, everybody. It's time for the Wait What a Sparta show. We talk about what in this episode of television gave us the Wait What's. Panda?
So art girl, whose dad doesn't want her to do the art.
Yep.
Yes. Didn't make it in the synopsis, unfortunately.
Somehow. Yeah, somehow that synopsis was chock full. Didn't have room for it.
Didn't have room for it. The only thing that's kind of baffling to me is at one point she goes to school. It's first thing in the morning because they introduce Cody to the class. And then she just gets up and walks out. And Elizabeth goes after her and she says, hey, where are you going? She goes, my dad needs him to help pack up the wheats.
I think she said, I have it written down here. My dad needs help with the wheats.
My dad needs help with the wheats.
Was that like W-H-E-A-T-S? Like the wheats?
We could talk about that. But the more confusing thing to me is, why did you even show up at school? It's first thing in the morning.
Dressed
You're there
up,
for 3 minutes.
Got there for 3 minutes. Said, so I'm going to have a heart out 5 minutes.
Yeah, dad needed me. I
got
to
get going.
I just wanted to
There's
see what was
I
popping
do.
Today.
I don't know what. Yeah.
New kid. I'm out. Like, what's happening there?
That didn't make any sense.
The wheats are actually these neighbors. And
the wheats are the worst.
The wheats are
he
the worst.
He needed some. Like, they're imposing. They're imposing on their land.
Yeah.
The chairs are way better.
You need help.
The wheats said they would stay when their power was out for like maybe a night, and they've been there a month.
They haven't left.
Oh my goodness!
Worst.
It's unbelievable.
The only other thing is the girl who ends up getting the fever goes real high, and then she goes to the church. She gets better. She goes to the church, or no, the school at the very end where everyone's singing Amazing Grace, and then at the very end the doctor takes her and he's like, hey, we need to get you to the big city because you might have an infection. It could be really bad. My question is, why'd you let the girl go to the school? She's clearly like, he's like, man, we got to go tomorrow. Like,
and not only that, she didn't make it in time.
No, she
didn't
make it in time. Thing.
She missed her brother's song entirely, but yet they thought it was important enough for her to try to get
there. I don't understand. Whatever.
Maybe she heard it from outside walking up.
Everybody singing
yeah,
when Pockets Jr. froze on Amazing Grace.
Yeah. I have a couple of things.
Pockets wouldn't have froze.
No, Pockets wouldn't have. No way. No way, Jose.
Pockets doesn't freeze.
That's exactly right. At the beginning of this episode, Elizabeth comes to find Jack cutting wood in the woods. And he's like, I saw what happened. And she's like, with the guy proposing, Charles proposing. And she's like, how much did you hear? And he's like, I heard enough, but it wasn't any of my business, so I left. Listen, if someone is proposing to the love of my life, you better believe I'm listening to the whole thing.
Sticking around.
Listen, that's just, I am not a good enough human to just be like, that's their business. Like, no, I'm all in on that situation, that conversation. Do you, the restraint it takes to not only not to go like just sock the guy, but also to walk away and not listen to the conversation.
Yeah.
It's a bold move.
Yeah.
I don't know why they also it's the tale of two Jacks. Like Jack is either hunky hunk or he's like the least confident person in the world.
It doesn't make any
sense.
And
it is such a weird, weird thing that they got going on there. That's all I got, Dan.
When is this?
Yeah.
Like when is this happening? We know it's 1910, 11, but we are to assume that the show picks up right where it left off, which means she was getting proposed to on December 26th. And they're having full-blown school all week in between Christmas and New Year's, working on this New Year's thing. I know it's 1910, but there's no way kids are going to school every day, all day long, on the 26th of December.
Maybe they were celebrating like a different.
I don't understand. Like next.
It was a Chinese New Year celebration.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be in January, February, March before we get too offensive.
It's a different time of the year. It is. My point.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't saying anything.
So maybe, you mean maybe all of that's happening for that New Year's?
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
And they have
so
a
maybe
big
it's,
New
it
Year's
wasn't,
play
it wasn't,
for Chinese New Year.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know what to say. Guys, I'm trying.
This constable who's been dirty and he's 20 some years in the business, he shows up. Jack hands him a gun. This guy has kept his identity a secret. And he doesn't check the gun. Like every action movie you ever see, when someone throws you a gun, they click that thing to make sure it's loaded. This guy just like, I trust you, man. Like that scene was just real bad. Kevin tells Pascal, this isn't a list. It's the Magna Carta. No, I guess they're both technically lists, but you know, the Magna Carta wasn't super long. I mean, it was a couple pages. I mean, I think in their writing it was like 30 pages, but like that's really big writing. Like, and if you typed it up, it was like 3,000 words. So like, you know, I mean, I guess maybe that works. It requires four grown men to lift and move one not fully grown tree. This tree is maybe 12 feet tall. The trunk is like, you know, 8-10 inches in diameter. And there are four guys hauling that thing around like it is made of lead. And that doesn't check out at all unless they just needed somebody to be an extra and get some credit. Cody Pockets 2 looks like Kevin McAllister. Why is Gowan a good guy all of a sudden? Like, they're literally just making the absolute worst person alive. He blamed a woman's husband's death on her. You cannot recover from that. And this guy now all of a sudden has a heart and he cares about the community. That is, I'm going to bring it up every episode. I'm going to bring it up every single episode. There's no way that that flies.
What if Gowan was always right? What if it was Abigail's husband's fault? But
the things he says are like irrefutably menacing and maniacal and evil, right?
And he still does say a couple of things in this episode.
Kind of, for sure. But they're
backing off. But he does seem happier. He's starting to be filled with wonder, Dave.
Yeah.
And I love that.
It's Hope Valley rubbing off on him. Yeah, it's not Coal Valley anymore.
It's Hope Valley. Coal,
that's exactly right. Can I interest you in some, Amazing Grace?
Yeah, well, speaking of Amazing Grace, what's Pockets Jr. doing? I mean, could he not sing Amazing Grace because he was nervous? Or because he forgot the words to Amazing Grace?
Which one's worse?
I think forgetting the words is worse. But it seemed like he just gets up there with all the confidence in the world. And he's like, amazing. He got through amazing. Like, you're off and running. Train's left the station, bro. This is the easy part now. And then he freezes up. There are 12 people in the crowd. That could be it. That just didn't make any
sense
to me.
He's new to
either.
The city. Maybe got the jitters.
He went up there with all the confidence in the world and got amazing.
Sometimes you get the yips, Dan.
I think he started too high and he realized it quickly.
Amazing.
Because he did start pretty high and he was like, oh, dang it. I guess wherever you start, it's fine.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's not going to.
It's not the national anthem.
It's the once. He got.
Rockets. Brooklyn. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to make it up to you.
He never did.
No, he does never not. That's still one of the best videos of all time.
And doing so does make it up to us.
Francis Scott off key. I love that entire video. If you've not watched the video of Carl Lewis singing the national anthem, guys, just go do it.
Did you get it, Dan?
I did it.
It's time for the hopes and values. It's part of the show. We talk about things in this episode that give us hope for the future and or bum us out as well. Dan, Panda. Daniel Panda.
Yeah. Gowan turning good. Unlike Dan, I'm here for a good redemption arc. It's about time we've had one. Valley.
Not a lot of redemption in Wind Calls the Heart. Yeah.
Jack has yet, his brother is still gone, and we were not located in Hamilton at any point, and that kind of saddens me.
You wanted to be back. So you're on board.
I kid.
These should be the reverse. Your hope should be we weren't in Hamilton anymore. And your valley should be they're going to try to make Gowan a good guy.
No, I stand by what I said. My valley is I want a little bit more action, and I just don't think we're going to be getting much of it. I think that we're up for the next episode. I think it's going to be slow.
My hope is that now that Charles is out of the picture and we're not in Hamilton anymore, it's just, you know, not smooth sailing, but like no dumb rifts between Elizabeth and Jack. Like, I just want these two to fall in love.
You not get the feeling there's going to be some more rifts though, Bran?
I'm sure there might, but the riff of the magnitude of Hamilton, we're not going to have that anymore. Listen, they'll disagree about some stuff. I'm sure Jack will still feel insecure for reasons I don't know. Have you looked in the mirror? But, you know, just I think that we are hopefully on the up and up. And my valley is that new Pockets is going to be bumming me out if he becomes the new Pockets.
Yeah, he's going to be the new Pockets. I don't really have a hope. I mean, maybe the show's getting a little bit better. The Valley's Gowan. The Valley is Gowan. I don't. Redemption. To have a bad guy as good as Gowan and to just decide, no, we'll just make him mayor without an election and then make him a good guy is bad. It's just bad. Bad all the way around.
Pockets watch?
No.
No. Watch? No.
Kinda.
Not my pockets, though.
Not my pockets. No.
Smolder counts.
It was up for me. Like, he's chopping wood. Mm. He's got some good scenes. Give me 5.25. 5.25.
Yeah, I'll do 5.25.
Okay, double 5.25. You want to make it a triple?
It's a triple 5.25! We did it, everybody.
What's calling my heart?
What is calling my heart? You can email us, hello@deckthehallmark.com. Let us know what is calling your heart. What's bringing you joy right now? Who do we have to ask?
Beth Ann Smith. Hello, the guys. What's calling my heart is the change in seasons. Winters are hard with 5 kids who have too much energy, so I'm grateful right now that I can send them out into the yard to play and spend evenings on the ball field. Also, spring brings one of my favorite things, the blooming of my irises. We have several hundred irises in the flower beds around our house, and they thrill my soul. Thanks for the happiness that you and your podcast bring to me each day. I'm so thankful to have found y'all. Well, we read it a little bit late because now we are in scorched earth mode here in
South Carolina. You know, but they still bloom.
But the irises are doing great, and I'm sure wherever Beth is, the weather's nicer than that it is here.
Yeah, if the winters are so bad that her kids can't go outside, chances are right now
it's perfect.
Still
now it's perfect. Perfect. That's exactly
so
right.
Congratulations.
Yeah, we did.
That calls my heart too.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
But boy, it's hot outside.
It is hot.
Shout out to Philo for these sweet sweatshirts.
Sweatshirt.
no, really, it is the most comfortable sweatshirt I've ever worn. It's just also, I got to take it off if I need to go, you know,
oh, outside. The mail. That would be brutal. Yep.
We're going to be back tomorrow with, what's it called?
Mbop.
Classic.
My Christmas Love. My Christmas
love.
That's the one.
We're looking forward to it. Until then,
Merry Christmas.
We're not even trying. Deck the Hallmark's a Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.